Who's here for the first time today? You do. Okay, good. Well, I want to welcome you to our meeting today. We probably do things a bit different from the way that you are used to. I'm not going to apologize for that. I think God calls everybody in a different way, and you know what? I have to be me, and so you have to be you. But what I want to say to you is this. In this ministry and in this church, God is King. Jesus is in charge and the Holy Spirit leads the meeting. Sometimes we preach, sometimes we don't preach. Sometimes the power of God just moves through this place and all sorts of things happen. That's just the way it is. God must always be in charge. The moment man is in charge, you can be guaranteed that you're going the wrong way. Amen. I want to ask a question. How many people that is here today? Oh, that's like very, Mr. Wilson. That's not cool. No, it's very high. Sorry, we're just sorting out some. Our amplifiers and stuff are set for the big hall now. It sounds all kokaya. It's the high frequencies is way too high. Testing, 1, 2, no, it's better. Yes, thanks. Who that is here today can testify and say, God healed me of something in this, not this meeting today. Okay, prophesy it. God's going to heal you. But who can testify that God healed you of something in one of these meetings that you attended? I want you to stand. If you were healed in any way in one of these meetings, stand up. Right. Now I want you to take a look around. She can't stand yet, but she knows she's been healed of a lot of things. You can just wave at me. There we go. There we go. I want everybody to take a look around. What do you see? What you see is Jesus Christ is the healer. And as he healed before, he still heals today. What you see around you when you look around is that God is not a liar when he says that I am the Lord your God that heals you. We see that the word of God doesn't lie when it says that God sends forth his word and heals the sick. Amen? Now take a look around. And I want you to say to every person around you, take heart. God is for you. And today is your day. The healer is in this place. Jesus Christ paid the price. Prepare your heart to receive from God. Amen. Let's sit down. Thank you. I think I shared, I can't remember if I shared this testimony. My maid is from Malawi. About 2 months ago, she received word from her mother that her son was gravely ill. And that they had taken him for investigation at the hospital, and they found that he had tumors in his abdomen. And they said that he needed an emergency operation for this to be sorted out, otherwise he could die. And she was all distraught and all stressed and all panicked, and I said to her, okay, come sit, we're going to pray about it. We prayed with her, and then I actually gave her a handkerchief. I prayed over it, we anointed it, I gave her a bottle of oil with. I'm not saying there's any power in the oil, I just gave her some oil that we prayed over, and I said to her, go and trust God. God is going to do something for your son. She went there. I think it's about 2 days' drive to get up to Malawi. She went up there. She was just in time to take her son to the hospital. Before they did the operation, they took him for tests and scans again. Do you know what they found? There was nothing. Yeah. Amen. One of these days, I'll bring her here. She can testify herself and share with you what God has done. A couple of years ago, I prayed for a woman. She had a brain tumor. The doctors told her that it would have to be operated, but they also told her that it was in a very, very dangerous place, that if they operate in that place, she could go blind or she could go deaf. It was in one of those areas, I can't remember exactly where, but they could possibly do more harm if they operate on her than if they don't. But on the other hand, if they don't operate, she's probably going to go blind and deaf and whatever, and she'll probably pass away. She came forward and she asked for prayer, and I said to her, you know what? All I can say is we have to pray and we have to trust God. I can't do nothing for you, but I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit with you that today God's going to do something for you. And you know what? I prayed for this woman, and the power of God came upon her, and something started happening. I wasn't aware of what happened until much later when she spoke to me about the sensations and the feelings that she had. But she went down on the floor, and her body began to contort, and it actually looked like she was bouncing. And you could see there was a lot of vuma there. There was a lot of power. And after about 20 minutes, she got up. And when I asked her what she experienced, she told me that she had the sensation of popcorn popping in her head. You know, like when something swells up and... She said she had this, and she could even hear something happen. And when it was finished, all the pressure and everything that she felt before was gone. She subsequently went for tests. Do you know what they found? They found nothing. You can't explain. You can't explain how that works. You don't know what to make of it, except to say that God still heals. Today, we're busy talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you that if you come to these meetings, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit a whole lot. We can never say enough about the Holy Spirit, just like we can never say enough about Jesus. The reason we're all sitting here, come on, let's be very honest, it's because of Jesus. If Jesus didn't die for you, if Jesus didn't give his life for you, you wouldn't be here today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Or some translations say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. If that's God calling, you should answer. If not, please switch off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. I want to ask you a question. Who of you believe in the Son? Wave at me. If you don't wave at me now, I'm going to call you forward and lay hands on you and pray for you. You obviously need it. Do you believe in the Son? Raise your hand, look at your neighbor and say, Jesus died for you not to perish. What does the word perish mean? Okay, ultimately it speaks of going to hell and being in deep dwelling, all right? But it can also refer to the life that you live here. Should you be perishing right now? Should you be falling apart right now? Should your life be in the pit right now? No. 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 You shouldn't. But the reality is, many people are. And that's not right. And we need to do something about that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I want you to listen to me. The life that God makes available to us is not a life of sickle. It's not a life of hana. It's not a life of going backwards. It's a life of going forwards. God wants you to go forward in your thought life. God wants you to go forward in your health. God wants you to go forward in your relationships. God wants you to go forward in your business situation. There is no such thing as, I am a child of God and I'll be stuck in the pit. That's not what Jesus died for. But sometimes these things happen. Then what do we have to do? Appropriate our faith. Apply our faith, apply our authority, apply the power of God to the situation for it to change. Will God help us? He has to. Why? Because that's what his word says. God will always honor his word. Amen? So I want to say something to you. If you are here today, and you feel that right now in some area of your life, you are perishing, then we have to do something about it, because that's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to perish. God wants you to prosper. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. Look at your neighbor and say, it's God's plan for your life to prosper. Fasten your seatbelt. It's coming. In Jesus' name, it's coming. All right, we're speaking about the Holy Spirit. We started last week, and I'm not going to really go over what we shared last week. Actually, I want to just say this. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit does speak to us, and He does not just speak through the Word. You know, a lot of people have this thing that if God speaks today, we're living in a dispensation where God will only speak through His Word. That's not true. The Holy Spirit can speak directly. Sometimes God uses people to speak to us. You might not know at that point in time that it is the Holy Spirit speaking. But what I want to say is, at this meeting, what probably happened was the Holy Spirit came upon one of the believers. Was it Peter? Was it Paul? Was it James? Was it John? The Bible doesn't say. But we know that a word was given, a word was spoken, and the Bible tells us it was the Holy Spirit that spoke. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to set apart for me this gentleman and this gentleman because I have called them to work for me. Now, if the Holy Spirit could speak into the lives of the apostles, the disciples, and these two gentlemen, Barnabas and Saul, then I want to say something to you. There will be times in your life when the Holy Spirit will also speak to you about your life. He can speak through a sermon. He can speak through the Word of God. He can speak to you while you're speaking to a friend and they give you some good sound advice about your life. How many of you have asked Jesus into your life? How does He enter your life? Through the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God dwells in you. Then if the Spirit of God dwells in you, doesn't it make sense that now and then the Spirit of God would choose to speak through you? Have you ever spoken to somebody about a problem in their life? And then you give them some really good advice and you take a step back and you say, wow, where did that come from? Man, even I can learn something from that. Then it wasn't you speaking. Donald, what are you laughing at? I want to tell you something. When wisdom comes from that man's mouth, you know it's the Holy Spirit, right? I'm only joking. So here's the thing. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit can speak through anybody. But now and then when somebody gives you advice and something starts happening in your heart, you should know it's not that person speaking, it's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit gives you that something, that check in your heart. Listen to this. And you know, there are many times when God has sent 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people to speak to you. No, there's not a light going on above them that says, listen, Holy Spirit speaking. There's nothing like that, but you feel something. But we ignore it, and we ignore it, and we ignore it. And then later on, when we do end up in the pit, and we're like, oh God, why didn't you speak to me? I want to say to you, God says, man, how many people must I send to you to tell you what to do? So sometimes we should just obey. When you feel that thing in your spirit, when the words of that person come back to you when you lie on your bed at night, it's the Holy Spirit bringing it back. And sometimes it's because of our own stubbornness and our own stupidity that we are still stuck in the pit, because God already told us what to do to get out. Sometimes you got a friend in your life that's not good for you. And in many ways, God has spoken to you. Your mother has spoken to you. Your father has spoken to you. Your grandmother has spoken to you. Some of your other friends have spoken to you and said, listen, yeah, this is not good. And you're like, oh man, I'll do whatever I want. And then that friend ends up pulling you down and you are in the pit with them. Don't blame God, because He spoke to you. And at night when you were lying in your bed, those words came back to you and you were like, I don't care. We should listen, because the Holy Spirit still speaks. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. John chapter 16, verse 12 to 14 says, I have much more to say to you, more than what you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Spirit always speaks and reveals the truth in people's lives. There is a very big difference between truth and lie. Some friends will lie to you. Some friends will tell you the truth. Which friend should you get closer to? We don't do people a favor when we lie to them. Lying belongs to the kingdom of darkness. The truth belongs to God. When the Holy Spirit comes, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. God hates lies. I want to stop here. And I want to touch on this because it is a touchy subject, but I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people in this room, you are saved, but your tongue is not. Because at every opportunity to get yourself out of the dwang, you lie. And I want to tell you something. You cannot keep doing that and get away with it. At some point in time, it's going to catch up with you. God will make sure that it is going to catch up with you. And you're not going to like what's going to happen when it catches up with you. God hates lies. John 8 verse 44 says, you are children of your father the devil, who was a liar from the beginning, and he abides not in the truth, because he is the father of lies. When we lie, we side with Satan. When we tell the truth, we side with God. There are going to be times in your life when you want to say that it's like this, but you know it's like that. Remember what you learned today. And this is not the first time that you've heard it. But maybe this will give you the incentive to choose to say the truth instead of saying a lie. Every time we lie, we give Satan power over our life. And he's called a murderer. John 10:10 says he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to destroy your life. And the more power you give him, the more power he has to use against you. And you know what? Any power that Satan has in your life right now, most of it you gave him yourself. The Bible says, give the devil no place. When Satan is in your life, he's in your life because you gave him place. And don't tell me, but Rion, you don't know what you're talking about. I never gave the devil place. I'm sorry, but I'm going to disagree with you, because it is not the unbeliever that gives the devil place. It is the believer. And if we've given the devil place, then we have a responsibility to get rid of him. You know, demons are like squatters. They come in and sometimes they are uninvited. But if you don't clear the area, they will grow and they will multiply and they will get more and more and more. And it's our responsibility to deal with that. It's our responsibility to, whatever we did to allow these things to come in, we must repent of that. We must close that door and we must kick the devil out. You know, a lot of people want to go through a process of deliverance. And there is such a thing as deliverance. People need to be delivered from demons. It's not just an Old Testament thing. It's not just a New Testament thing. It is a Christian thing. People need to be delivered from demons, and sometimes they need to be delivered from curses. Sometimes they need to be delivered from witchcraft. If you've messed with funny stuff, the devil has power in your life. It has to happen. You know, there's this fallacy in the church that Christians cannot have demons. Jeez, I don't know. These folks didn't read the Bible very well. That's all I can say. You know, Jesus cast out demons in the synagogues, in the church, amongst his own people. In fact, when he sent the disciples out to go and cast out demons, he said, do not go to the Samaritans. Do not go to the cities of the unbelievers, but go to my people. Cast out their demons and heal their sick. God's people. Deliverance is not for unbelievers. Can I tell you why it's not for unbelievers? Because an unbeliever has nothing inside of them to keep the devil out once he's left. You need the Holy Spirit in you to keep it out once it's left. You try and cast demons out of an unbeliever, before they get home, the demons are all back. Because who's going to keep them out? Only something more powerful than Satan can keep Satan out. That's the Holy Spirit. Deliverance is not for unbelievers. Deliverance is for believers. Therefore, believers have to face the music. If you've given the devil place, you have to repent. If you've given the devil place, you have to humble yourself before God and trust Him to lift you up. But saying, oh, you know, I don't have problems. Oh, I don't have issues. You know, sometimes people come to me for counseling. Then the whole counseling session is about me talking and me asking questions and them like, I can't help you. You have to tell the truth. You have to say what you were involved in because we have to close those doors. And you know what? Then people have this thing like, oh, but you know what? God can tell you. Why? God's not a tattletale. Why must God be a tattletale? You know what you did. It's not like suddenly God must press your rewind button and take you back. No. Raise your hands if you know you've messed up. Then I'm so glad you all came to church today. But the fact of the matter is, we know when we've messed up, don't we? You know the skeletons in your closet. You know where you buried them. Why are you laughing, George? You're not going to answer. He pleads the fifth. He's not saying nothing. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, the more truthful we are, the more the Holy Spirit can work with us. When you're in denial, when you don't want to talk about stuff, when you sweep it under the carpet and you're like, you know, nothing's going to happen for you because God knows and the devil knows. And let me tell you something. When you mess up, there's two people that's always seeing what you're doing. God sees and the devil sees. Try and lie to them. You can't. They know. Amen? So, I know we touched on this last week. I'm just going to quickly recap on that. One of the quickest ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit is with lies. When we lie, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the author of life. The Holy Spirit is the one that manifests the healing that God releases and sends. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us to change, that helps us to conquer. If we grieve Him, He kind of pulls away from us. We hurt only ourselves. On the other hand, God will always bless us for our honesty. And then there's one more truth that's very important. What is the Word of God called? Well, it's the truth. The Word of God is the truth. The truth concerning my life, the truth concerning my situation, the truth concerning God, the truth concerning Satan. And what God wants is the fullness of His truth to be revealed to people. You know, there are some people, when it comes to the Bible, they latch on to one thing and that's the only thing that they care about. They don't care about the rest. I'll give you a stupid example. You can follow the grace movement and you can preach grace to everybody and you can be like, oh, don't worry, God is full of grace and God is merciful and God is this and God is that. But you cannot take out of the Bible the fact that we should repent, the fact that we should deal with our issues and our problems. Because if you only preach one part and you throw away the rest, you do not honor God. It is the fullness of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that will set people free. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If I give you a tiny portion of the truth, can that do the full job? No. So we must preach the fullness, and we must be ready to receive the fullness. And this is a problem, because some people have already decided what is acceptable for them and what is not acceptable for them concerning the Word of God. And now, don't talk to me about that. I'm not into that. You should be into that because it's going to get you to heaven. Amen? It's going to help you to deal with your problems. We cannot read the Bible selectively. We cannot decide that this is not for me and that is not for me. It's all for us. We need all of it. The Holy Spirit is also the Comforter. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. Why is that important? Because we get hurt down here. We go through anxiety. We go through stress. We go through worry. We have disappointments. Have you ever felt like when somebody does something to you, you've just had this dagger in your heart and it's like you can hardly breathe? Or you've lost a loved one. You know, there's a lot of you here, you've lost a father, you've lost a mother. Some of you have even lost a child. And that is a big hurt that sits inside of you. Now, the devil is brilliant at manipulating that hurt to keep bringing you down, to keep causing you to fall. The only one that can help us with that hurt is the Holy Spirit when He reveals Himself to us as the Comforter. Because when the Comforter comes, He touches us in our heart. If we allow Him, He will help us to heal those wounds. So the Holy Spirit comforts us, He encourages us, and He gives us joy and peace when we go through difficult times. What does the Holy Spirit do? Firstly, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. John 16 verse 8 says, "But when He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." Listen carefully. When He comes, that is the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, the essence of the gospel is man's separation from God through sin. When somebody comes to Jesus, what do we say? You are now? Say that. There we go. When somebody comes to Jesus, we say, you are now saved. In Afrikaans sê ons, jy is nou gered. Okay, now what does that mean? Listen carefully. To be saved, you have to be saved from something bad. Okay? And that's Satan. The purpose of the gospel is to reveal to us the fact that we need to be saved from something. The people that say Satan is not relevant today are stupid. Because why would we need salvation if Satan has no more power? Why would we need salvation if the devil is impotent and can't do nothing against people? Why would we need salvation if people now are not worried about going to hell anymore? Because, you know what, it's this weird Christian myth that doesn't exist. It's biblical. Satan is real. Hell is real. Death and Hades is real. And the torment that happens in that place is real. But I want to tell you what I've told you before. Hell was not created for man. Hell was created for Satan, every devil and every demon that rebelled against God. It's not God's heart for you to go there. But some people choose to go there because they reject God. And they reject God's plan for salvation. So when the Holy Spirit comes, He comes to bring conviction. People will never see their need for a Savior unless they can first see that they are lost. Now, that's very important. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't really see their need for salvation because they don't see that they are lost. Have you ever had the encounter or the experience that you tried to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody and they were like very harsh and they resisted you all the time? That's the problem. Yes, they probably got a couple of demons in their life that's messing with their mind. But the fact of the matter is, they don't see that they are lost. And you can't convince them. You can't. But the Holy Spirit can. And when you have an encounter like that, stop arguing because it's going to get you nowhere. Tempers start flaring up. People get all upset and all whatever. You begin to pray for that person every day for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and convict them. The next time you talk, their attitude will probably be different. They will be receptive. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will begin to touch their heart and bring conviction. Sometimes He will use circumstances and situations to bring that person to the place that they understand their need for salvation. So you can't just debate with somebody and tell them, oh, you know what? You need Jesus. The conviction of sin doesn't take place in the mind. the conviction of sin takes place in the heart. And your words don't touch the heart of that person. Your words comes into their mind. The Holy Spirit has to touch their heart. You cannot be an evangelist if the power of God is not upon your life. Because your eloquent speech and your wise words will save nobody. The anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost working with you and through you will bring salvation. That's why when God chooses evangelists, He's not interested in how good you were at speech in Afrikaans and English. Doesn't matter to Him. You know, when Jesus chose the disciples, He did not go to the local university and see who's got the biggest IQ. He did not go to the local debate society and say, who's your top debate, whatever. He went to a bunch of fishermen. People that the world would never, ever have chosen to start the greatest movement that ever moved on the face of this earth. And He chose them. Because in the end, it's not about you. It's what God does through you. Amen? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you have no idea what God has prepared for you. I quote you a scripture. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the heart of man, God has prepared for those who love Him. Can you imagine if we had an interview with Peter before he met Jesus? Probably he was quite temperamental. We know that he had a problem with his temper. He flared up fairly quickly. He chopped the oak's ear off when they came to arrest Jesus. Jesus says, calm down to steady panic. It's okay. Yeah, I'll put your ear back. Don't stress. It's going to be all right. Peter had no backbone when he was confronted with the truth that you are one of the disciples. No, I'm not. I've never seen this man. You would not have chosen him. You would have thought this is the last oak that can start a movement for God on this earth. But God saw something in him. Amen? Even though he was weak, God made him strong. He had lots of issues, he had lots of problems, but one thing he did have, he was willing. And God can do more with a willing person than He can do with a clever person. In fact, sometimes the biggest obstacle that we have to working for God is our mind. Because when God tells you to do something, your mind is like, oh, but that's not going to work. Imagine when Jesus spoke to Peter, and He said, okay, I'm going to set the scene for you. The disciples are in the boat and there's a storm. They're all panicking and they're all very stressed because in that area when the storms came up, they were severe. And many, many ships had sunk in a sudden storm. And so they're there, they're all like stress, panic. Oh, we're going to die. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. They see this and they think they're seeing a ghost. But as He comes closer, they begin to see the picture. This is Jesus. And then Peter says, Lord, if it's really You, please tell me to come out because I want to do this too. And Jesus says, okay, come. His mind was his biggest enemy. His heart wanted to do what Jesus told him to do. And there was enough vuma in his heart for him to take that first step. But then his mind kicked in and his mind said, hey, stop. Do you know that what you're doing right now is impossible? Oh. Did you see the size of the waves? Oh. Besides that, people die in storms like this. Oh. And he sank. Why? Because of his mind. That's why the Holy Spirit works in the heart, because the mind is unstable. And I'm not trying to curse you. I'm telling you the truth. Your mind is unstable. That's why Jesus doesn't live in your mind. He lives in your heart. The stability is found in your heart. That's where the Holy Spirit works. Our minds are full of doubt. Our minds are full of unbelief. Our minds are full of questions. Our minds don't understand. Our minds will not accept. Can your mind comprehend a miracle? Let's put this out there. Imagine if there's somebody here today that doesn't have an arm, and under the worship or when we pray for them or whatever, suddenly, boom, there's an arm. Can your mind conceive that? But your heart will rejoice before God, won't it? That's why the Holy Spirit lives in your heart and He works through your heart. That is why when you and I speak to somebody, when we speak to them on an intellectual level, we can never convince them of sin. Because they will argue everything that you bring away. Ah, but Rian, it's not like this, it's like that. Ah, but I don't see it this way. Ah, but it doesn't work like that this day and age. And you know, I've heard all of that stuff. And when people get that way with me, we stop talking. Because I can't, our minds are not going to figure this out. Lord, I bring this person before you, please help them. Holy Spirit, please bring conviction upon their heart. And you keep praying for them that way. If you have somebody in your family right now that is not saved, what you should be praying is for the Holy Spirit's power to come upon them and convict them of sin. When the Holy Spirit comes upon people and convicts them of sin, they get saved in their millions. When clever people stand on the pulpit and talk, nobody gets saved. And even if somebody says, oh yeah, okay, fine, if it's up here, it's not going to work. Must come from here. And whatever comes from here is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do just that. He will convict a person, cut straight to their heart, and allow them to grasp sin and to grasp righteousness. The next thing that the Holy Spirit does is He guides us in all truth. John 16 verse 37 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Now, here's where I'm going with this. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Whatever wisdom is in the Bible, whatever truth is in the Bible, whatever revelation is in the Bible, it came through the hand of the Holy Spirit. Yes, people wrote it, but the Bible says what they wrote down was divinely inspired by the Spirit of the living God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the only one capable of giving us insight and understanding about the things in God's Word. Have you ever read, I'll give you an example, the writings of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a very clever man. And if you read his writings, even the Apostle Peter says the writings of Paul are very hard to understand. So if you've ever battled with some of the things Paul writes, then you are in the same league as Peter, because Peter complained about the same thing. It's like, oh, your writings are difficult. It's hard to understand. Up, yeah, it's hard. In, yeah, it's easy. Because if it works through the Spirit of God gives us revelation. He opens up the Scriptures to us and He reveals to us what God wants to say in any situation. People that read the Word of God without the help of the Holy Spirit will often be confused. People that read the Word of God through the help and the power of the Holy Spirit will get revelation and understand what God is saying to them. And that brings me to a second thing. The Word of God is called the Living Word for a reason. Because when you read the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God becomes alive. And what I mean by that is, when He reads a certain passage of Scripture, God can speak to him about his marriage. Because God knows what's going on in his life. God knows where his weaknesses are. God knows where he's being attacked by the enemy. And God can use that Scripture. It doesn't matter which one, anyone. And God can speak to him about his marriage. Now, he can be going through a difficult time in his work situation. Now, here's the funny thing. He can read the exact same message. And where it spoke to him about his marriage, it'll speak to him about his work situation. And both of them will get an answer from God. Which normally can't happen, because it can only have one meaning. No. Because it is living, it can mean an infinite number of things. When the Holy Spirit is the author, and when the Holy Spirit is the teacher, He can take that Scripture and apply it to your life. Because He gives what we call revelation. If you want to know what revelation is like, close your eyes. Keep them closed. Keep them closed. You don't see nothing, do you? Open them. Ah, let there be light. Now you see. That's what revelation is. It's like you were in the dark. You were in the dark and you read that and it's like, ah, now I see. That's revelation. The Holy Spirit is the only one capable of giving insight and understanding to us concerning God's Word, concerning our life, concerning our future. It applies, he shows us how it applies to our life, our relationships, etc. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, He will reveal to us many truths from God's Word that has the potential to change our life. And He will reveal to us truth through other means as well. And that's what I said to you earlier on. The Holy Spirit speaks. There's a scripture that says, for God does speak, now one way, now another. God is not limited to just the Word of God. If God wants to speak to you, He can speak to you through a four-year-old child. He can speak to you through an 80-year-old man. He can speak to you through your mother-in-law. Yes, I know that that freaks you out, but it can happen. You know, God does miracles. For all mothers-in-laws, yeah, we all love you. It's fine. God can speak to you through a donkey. Hello? That means God can speak to you through any means possible. And He speaks through dreams. He speaks through vision. He speaks through prophecy. God can speak to you in an infinite number of ways. If you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, if you welcome the Holy Spirit into your life, if you ask the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you and to begin to reveal God's will for your life to you, you will be shocked at how many ways God could speak to you. You can hear something on the radio that isn't even gospel related, and something will happen in your heart, and God just spoke to you. God can use... You know when you're driving down the highway or down the street and you see these billboards? God can speak to you through a billboard. God can speak to you through one of these things that says the captions on the newspaper. You know, Jay-Z commits atrocious lying and fraud, and God just spoke to you about something. You know, so God can speak through anything if we allow the Holy Spirit in our life to speak to us and to work through us. John chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. The Holy Spirit gives us new life. John 3, verse 5 to 6. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Because flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Okay. That pretty much means that unless you become born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God only exists for you when you get born into it. Before you came to this world, you had no consciousness, you had no awareness of this world. When you were born into this world, slowly but surely, your consciousness of this world and how things work in this world began to grow, and you began to mature in the things of this world. It is exactly the same in the kingdom of God. You first have to be born into the kingdom of God for it to become real to you. When you try and share spiritual truths with an unbeliever, the Bible says he will tell you it is foolishness. Amen? The Bible says, the things of the Spirit of God must be spiritually discerned. If they are not spiritually discerned, they will be claimed to be foolishness to carnal man. Therefore, we all need to be born again. We need to be born into the kingdom of God, because when we get born into the kingdom of God, our spirit becomes alive to God. Our spirit becomes alive to the Holy Spirit. Our spirit becomes alive to the principles that govern the kingdom of God. Our spirit becomes receptive to signs and wonders and miracles. Our spirit becomes receptive to the armor of God, to the ability to fight and conquer Satan, to conquer the curses upon our life. You can't do any of that unless you are born again. How do we get born again? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enters us, and it's like flipping a switch. Something that was dead to you before suddenly becomes alive. But now let me help you to understand something, because some people, when it comes to this stuff, we don't understand. That doesn't mean that everything makes sense to you today. Just like a baby that grows, crawl. Okay, first you just lie and scream. Then later on, if you're a little bit bigger, you start crawling around. You bump your head a lot of times. You fall on your face flat. You go through the trials and tribulations of life. Then you start walking, and then you're a walking disaster. Your mom has to lock all the kitchen cupboards, and she has to hide all the ornaments. And when you go and visit your grandmother, she has a panic attack every time you move. You know? And so we grow. And then we start running. And eventually we become mature. In the spirit world, it's exactly the same. You don't get born again today and understand everything in the kingdom of God tomorrow. You grow into it. You start maturing. And the quicker you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, the quicker you will mature. So the Holy Spirit enters us, and our spirit, which was dead because of sin, gets alive in Christ, and our life becomes new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. If we are in Christ, we become a new creation, but we don't really know exactly what that new creation is yet. In time, God will reveal to us. If we diligently follow God, if we allow the Word of God to speak to us, if we give place to the Holy Spirit, in time, we will begin to see who we are inside. Let's go back to the Apostle Peter. There was a time when he was just a fisherman. He was probably quite hot-tempered. He was probably given to bouts of anger and fighting, and probably now and then was depressed, and you know. But God put something inside of him that made him the best person to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, which would eventually reach the end of the world. And if you think about it, that's quite an awesome responsibility. He didn't know that until Jesus met him, until Jesus began to work with him a bit, and he became born again. And after him became born again, here's the thing. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were all together. The power of God came down. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He'd already been born again, and I'll teach you that later. But he'd never really been filled with the Holy Spirit. On that day when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God came upon them, the people thought that they were drunk. And the people actually said, what is this? It's only 10 o'clock in the morning and these people are acting drunk. Because they started talking in tongues and some of them were drunk. We know that when the power of God comes upon you, some people experience it as getting drunk in the Spirit. And then Peter stood up. And Peter preached his first sermon. There's nothing in the Bible that says he ever preached before. But that day, in front of thousands of people that even wanted to kill him, he had the guts, the courage, the conviction, the wisdom, the revelation, whatever he needed to stand up and address the crowd and say, hey, this is not what you think. This is what was written by the prophet Joel in the book of Joel 2:28. In the last days, says the Lord. Where did he get that from? It was inside of him, but it was released when the power of God came upon him. So I want to ask you a question. What is inside of you that has never been released? What is inside of you that has never seen the light of day? How many amazing things has God not got stored up in you that needs the power of God and the Holy Spirit to come upon you for it to be made manifest? Because your mind cannot manifest it. It comes through your heart and it changes your life. Amen? The next thing that the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. John 16:14 says, He, the Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. Here's the thing with the Holy Spirit. And this is where, you know, sometimes when you watch TV and you watch some of these big televangelists and all of that, a lot of them There's a lot of self in the way that they do things. There's a lot of hype around who they are. And to me, that's wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because the scripture says the Holy Spirit, when He comes, I'm not talking about a religious spirit. I'm not talking about a spirit of lies. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will not draw attention to the man. He will draw attention to Jesus. How do you know when the Spirit speaking is the Holy Spirit? When He's only interested in glorifying Jesus. When He's interested in glorifying Himself, turn around and walk away, because it's not the Spirit of God speaking. There are many demons preaching from pulpits. Yeah, you might not like it. The Bible says in the last days, many will be deceived and turn away from the faith. I want to ask you a question. If you are already in the faith, why would you go listen to a witch doctor? You're not going to. Why would you go and listen to some swami? You're not going to. You listen to preachers, and some people are listening to the wrong preachers that get them to deny their faith. There's a lot of demons that know how to preach. They just don't preach the truth. And they confuse people. And they cause people to backslide. Do you know how many people we've had come to these meetings telling me this and this and this happened in the church, and because of that for 2 years or 5 years or 10 years I haven't been back? It's not the way God works. Okay, sometimes people have issues in their heart and they must sort them out. But the fact of the matter is, God is not the author of confusion. God gives revelation. God gives truth. God gives life. Amen? So, the Holy Spirit always works to give glory to Jesus, never to either Himself or the individual through whom He works. Through His move and working, people can see that Jesus is real so that they might glorify Him. Let's talk about that. The Holy Spirit is not some party trick. And I mean that very respectfully, but the Holy Spirit is not given to us so that we can snap our fingers and things happen. But God does allow that, because it is sometimes the only way for people to have the revelation that God is real. Amen. Does God still heal the sick today? Yes, He does. Not on my command, not on your command, through God's perfect will. I cannot heal you, but God can. And you have to trust God for the healing. You can't trust me. But God will sometimes allow signs and wonders and miracles. Why? Because it changes the way people perceive and see things. The kingdom of God is supernatural. Therefore, when the power of God manifests, it has to be supernatural. The Holy Spirit was upon Jesus. The Bible says upon Jesus was the Spirit of God without measure. Do you want to know how Jesus got the crowds to follow Him? It wasn't His sermons. I don't doubt that He was a good preacher. I'm sure He was amazing. But I've read His sermons. They were short and sweet. And most people didn't even understand them. Even the disciples had to ask Him, Lord, what did that mean? Okay, sit down. Let me teach you. Do you know why people follow Jesus? Because where He went, the blind eyes opened. Because where He went, the crippled were healed. Because where He went, sickness and infirmity had to bow before Jesus Christ. And that's what got people to follow Him. And the Holy Spirit will still do exactly the same thing today, if it's God's will. We can't force it. Amen? Somebody sent me a joke. I'm just going to share it quickly. Fana Merva goes to this crusade. He goes up to the evangelist. He says to the evangelist, can you please pray for me for my hearing? The evangelist puts his fingers in his ears, starts rebuking the devil, starts calling the fire of God down upon him, pushes him left, pushes him right, tries to get him to fall over. Ovan is planted. He's not going nowhere. The evangelist screams a bit louder, more action. Nothing happens. After 5 minutes of this, he takes a step back. He says to Father Marva, so how's your hearing? Father Marva says, I don't know. It's next week in court. If you want me to pray for your hearing, just define which one it is. Don't make that mistake, Georgie, okay? All right. And then, lastly, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus through us. I want to talk about that. As Christians, we have a great responsibility. For people to know who Jesus is, they have to see him through you. And you know what? I'm not trying to be negative or anything like that, but we should all examine our lives. And we should ask the question, are we truly revealing Jesus to people? If you fly off the handle all the time, if you curse and swear all the time, I want to tell you something. You are not revealing the true Jesus. And sometimes people don't want to serve God because of all the so-called Christians that they've encountered in their life. The only way people are going to see and feel and experience Jesus is through the Christians around them. I've shared this many times, but I once read that Gandhi was interviewed by a reporter. And the reporter asked him, seeing as he's quite a wise man and he's had a lot of experience, his thought on religion? And he answered something to this effect. He said, well, he studied most of the religions, and he must be very honest, the one that makes the most sense to him seems to be Christianity. But because of his experience with Christians in the real world, he cannot condone Christianity. And he stays with what he's got. And you know what? That's sad, because what he said is real and still applicable today. Let me challenge you this way. If you were to ask the people at the office to come to church with you, would they see enough of Jesus in you to want to follow what you believe? You see, I can't answer that, but this is the harsh reality. We like, oh God, save people. Oh God, change people. But how are they going to change if we are not a light shining in a dark world? People can follow light. People will not follow darkness. Even unbelievers are not that stupid. They will see light in you or they will not. That I'm not responsible for, that you are responsible for. And in the same way, I'm responsible for that. It is our responsibility to go out there into the fields and work and toil, because there is a great harvest and time is short. We can't get people saved if they don't see salvation in us. So the next time you're at the office, or you're walking down the street, or you're driving in your car, remember, what we do down here reflects who we believe in. And there's a lot of people that say they believe in Jesus, but the way they act looks a lot more like they believe in the devil. And if that's the case, we have to ask God to help us. The Holy Spirit reveals to us just who Jesus is and what he is like. He also works in us and helps us to become more and more like Jesus. That's why the Word says we must be daily transformed and renewed into the image of Jesus Christ. You know, everybody has a tough day now and then. It happens to all of us. Sometimes things knock you one after the other after the other. Sometimes it's best to just be quiet. Because you know, if you open your mouth right now, it's not going to be good. But it also affects your testimony. And it affects how people see the God that you claim to serve. And we should remember that. Amen? Sorry, here's my last one. The Holy Spirit is our leader and the Holy Spirit is our guide. Romans 8 verse 14 says, but to those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. So what makes me a son or a daughter of God? There's only one criteria. It is those who are led by the Spirit that can claim to be sons or daughters of God. And I want to tell you something else. You can't give yourself that title. God will give you that title when he sees that you fulfill his criteria. There's a lot of people out there that make claims that they cannot back. Listen to this. The word used here for son really means a mature son. And that's one of the biggest problems that we find in Christianity. There seems to be many people who say that they are believers, but very few that display any level of maturity in Christ. You see, without the guidance and the help and the support of the Holy Spirit, you cannot get to that place. And you will not reach maturity in Christ. Why is maturity necessary? Well, let's not talk about spiritual things. Let's just talk about normal things. Can you remember when you were young? I'm talking 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. Here's my question. How many times did you mess up? How many mistakes did you make? I see a lot of gray hair. I'm sure you did a lot. And you? Why are you smiling at me like that? You're remembering stuff, aren't you? Yeah. You were naughty. She still is. She's still not mature. Is she still in nappies? Just tell me. Naughty. Can you remember when you were young and immature? How many times did you make decisions that your parents told you, oh, this is going to be a disaster? You remember that buff guy with like all the like right looks and all the muscles everywhere and the long wavy hair? He looked like that oak, like what? Johnny Bravo, yes. And then he turned out to be a real Johnny Bravo. And everybody tried to warn you and everybody told you this is not going to work. But you were immature and you were like all self-righteous and pompous and nobody tells me what to do. And you were probably full of rebellion as well. And then it ended up hurting and probably still hurts today when you think about it. The less mature we are, the more likely we are to mess up and make mistakes that can be very costly. In the natural, maturity works for you because we learn from our mistakes. We become more standfastig. What's that in English? Steadfast. We have a more stable, is there actually the word I was looking for? Mature people tend to have a more stable life. They're not that easily swayed this way or that way. They don't fall apart all that easy. They got a good foundation. Now in the spirit world, it's no different. You get mature Christians and you get immature Christians. An immature Christian falls apart at every sign of problem. Whenever something is not lacquer, they're like, ooh, stress, stress, worry, worry, anxiety, fear, panic attack, semi-heart attack, half-stroke. Immature. Mature Christians handle problems a lot better. Mature Christians make better decisions. Mature Christians reflect the nature of Jesus Christ a lot better than immature Christians. Here's my question. Which one do you want to be? I don't want to be an immature child of God. I've also been there. I've also done that. It's not nice. What we need is maturity now. Here's the thing. When do you come to a place that you start having maturity in the kingdom of God? When you become a son of God. When do you become a son of God? When your life is led by the Holy Spirit. Not the spirit of mammon, money, 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 money. Not the spirit of lust, Not the spirit of anger, the spirit of God. And this is something that we have to work on. We must give the Holy Spirit place in our life. We must yield more to the Holy Spirit. I'll give you just another stupid example. You're in a place where you can mess up and you can get away with it. Nobody's going to know. Let's say you can take that 100 rand and nobody's going to know. Or you and that auntie can go into the room and something can happen and probably nobody's going to know. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. You know, temptation comes from the devil many times. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. Now we must make a choice. Am I going to take that 100 rand? Am I going to go through that door? Am I going to embezzle that money, you know, whatever? Am I going to tell that lie? Or am I going to be led by the Spirit and turn around and just walk away? It's your choice. When you turn around and walk away, you allow your life to be led by the Spirit and more maturity will grow in you. When you do not allow your life to be led by the Spirit, more and more you will follow the spirit of this world. And worldliness will find its way into you. And then you will have no maturity in spiritual things. And if you have no maturity in spiritual things, you will fall apart for anything and everything. There will be no power in your prayer life. There will be no victory when you stand up against the devil. Many years ago, I was in a church where a Satanist manifested, and she manifested badly. Let me tell you, she emptied half that church in the first 2 minutes. It was violent. It was heavy. We had to carry her kicking and screaming and freaking out of the church. Here's where I'm going with that. There was a young man that sort of came uninvited, full of bravado. The demons were manifesting and I was commanding them to leave. And so he comes and pops himself in there and like telling the demon, "I smite you with the word of God." Probably sounded good in his mind. I don't know. You know, that demon, it was focused on me. When that boy came, he just, demon looked at him. He said, this is what the demon said. "You little shit. I know everything about you. You better keep quiet because I'll start revealing what's going on in your life right now. You don't speak to me that way. You have no authority over me." When I turned around, the guy was gone. He smited himself. What was the problem? No maturity, no authority, no power. Not everybody in the kingdom of God has power. Amen? Did anybody learn something? Give the Lord a big hand, please.